Hi and welcome to the Indie Q&A sessions. In this next episode we talk to Joey. He's Ghost Stalker. His music is a mix of guitar, synth, metal. It's instrumental style generally. He's also doing some music scores as well. I've got all the links to his material down below in the description. So let's get into it, see what Joey's got to say. We're here today with the New Music Review Q&A. We've got Joey from Ghost Stalker, all one word, I guess. And Joey, tell us who you are, what you're all about, what you're doing.
Sure, my name's Joey. I play music and produce music under the moniker Ghost Stalker. It's like a short elevator pitch is like it's cinematic metal. It's mainly instrumental, but I do have vocal features from time to time with different collaborators and friends. It started off as a synthwave project. For a while, it was a hip-hop project, and now it has turned into this metal, cinematic blend of all the genres I like.
Yeah.
Kind of even delved into orchestral music a little bit, too. And at the current moment, I'm just producing a lot of music and working on scoring short films and other media.
Okay. So what's your sort of... Your day-to-day music time frame, you know, is it, because I know you, it's not your full-time job as it were, but so how much time do you allocate to that, to the music side?
It all depends. If I'm doing pretty well, it'll be a morning thing. I like to get up in the morning pretty early and work on it. So it'll be like maybe three times a week for an hour and a half will be my kind of regime. If I do it in the evening, I don't really consider it anything. It's kind of just like a warm up for the morning come, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I'm the most productive with music probably from January till October, November and December. It's just not really there for me. So just focused on holidays and things.
And are you a solo artist essentially?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
How do you feel about, because I've had this discussion with a lot of people about the same thing, about do you feel like you're missing out on getting feedback from other band members, or are you quite happy that what you do is how you want it to be and anyone can take it or leave it?
Yeah, I've been playing music for over two decades now, and for a long time it was always bands. So I've had my fill of being in bands and collaborating with four pieces, three pieces, six pieces, all that. So Ghost Stalker is nice because it's kind of the other side of it all. So for over a decade, I played in all sorts of bands, country bands, metal bands, you name it, pop cover bands. So I kind of had my fill of band stuff. It's nice having a solo project like Ghost Stalker where it is kind of up to my own brain and soul to kind of make the judgment call of where I want pieces to go.
And do you look for feedback from other people or producers or other artists, and would you act on it if it was strong enough?
Not really. I studied music composition in college, and we had a lot of critique sessions where, you know, I studied composition, so you'd have to have an assignment and you'd present it, and I've had a lot of feedback in my life already.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of arrogant, but at this point with Ghost Stalker, I kind of know what I'm trying to get to first and then feel pretty confident when I do present that out to the world.
Right.
The only kind of feedback I'd really want is maybe if I ever had a chance to work with producers I really admire.
Yeah.
You know, producers that I guess were behind some of my favorite records, like Howard Benson or John Feldman. These guys produce like The Used, and they produced a lot of metal bands and emo bands that I really liked. But now, like, a lot of these producers make sample packs, or they make plugins.
Yeah.
So those I do my research. I'm like, okay, this is the drum samples that John Feldman made. Awesome. I'm going to use those in my recordings.
Yeah.
This is the Howard Benson plugin. I'm going to use that.
and are you, what's your primary instrument then? Is it keyboard, synth, or?
Guitar and piano are my two main ones.
Right.
Depending on what's going on. So it just depends. But guitar is the one I've been playing the longest. Piano, I'm still kind of intermediate at.
Okay. And what about your setup as you regard your DAW and your recording setup generally? What you got going on there?
Yeah, I've been using FL Studio. I started using it when I was like, probably 20 years ago. So I was pretty young, and I was using it then, and when I got back into recording and producing around 2019 with a DAW. I just went back into FL Studio. I hadn't used it for a long time, and then I was like, well, this is the one I know the most of. So it may not be perfect, but it's the one I'm most fluid in, competent in.
And what about your guitar sounds? Because I noticed, I did listen to some of the stuff yesterday, and it's pretty heavy going, some of it. And so what are you using for those sounds to get the best out of that?
Sure. I'm using a $180 Ibanez 7-string I bought off eBay. It's the most like entry level 7-string model you can get, and have it tuned to drop A. And then it's pretty straightforward. I use a amp sim archetype Gojira, and I use one of the presets on there. I think it's JD Rhythm 3. So I don't do a lot of tweaking. I just kind of find I mull over presets. So I usually compose the song and then just try it out, listen to it and sit with it, and try it in the car, try it on my earbuds, try it on my monitors, and then try a different preset. And then I kind of landed, the more songs I've made, the more I've found presets I kind of go back to as my go-to, you know, riffy guitar sound is that one.
Yeah. That sounds pretty comprehensive. I mean, it's obviously, there's quite a lot going on in a lot of it. And what about your programming? You're using drum samples, obviously. What drum software are you using?
I'm using Easy Drummer 2.
Yeah.
I bought that.
Yeah, I use that, yeah.
Maybe like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'd always been on the fence about buying plugins and all that. I was trying to do everything without having to buy a lot of stuff. And then 1 year, it was a big Black Friday sale for the amp sim I'd done the research on, and the drum software and everything. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to pull the trigger on this while there's a Black Friday sale. And that actually inspired a whole album. Having the, like, being able to just, you know, find really good drum sounds. And I still program in all the drums. It's usually like I'll come up with a guitar riff. I'll record the guitar riff, and then I will write out the MIDI bass to accompaniment. And then I copy and paste the MIDI bass into the drums. And I make it all hit the, like, one note, which is usually like the kick drum. And then on the twos and fours, I'll scoot up the MIDI notes to the snares. And then I fill in all the cymbals on top of that.
That's so interesting.
It allows everything to hit at the
on.
Same time.
That's quite syncopated, I guess, isn't it? It's very everything's very synchronized. And how are you getting on with your general getting your music out there? What platforms are you preferring or using? What social media are you using, and what's working and what isn't working?
I never really cared for a minute. Like, honestly, it was like from 2021 to 2023, I kind of was just releasing singles and maybe posting an Instagram story. Like, I kind of just did not care anymore. I was like, I'm going to make music. I'm going to just, when I release songs, I release them. And I'm just, my only goal is just to keep releasing stuff. And then a year ago, I got on Threads, and it was like, okay, wow, like, somehow I'm actually communicating with people again. I'm on everything, Twitter, TikTok, all that. But Threads was the only one where I was like, okay, like, I'm finally at least communicating with other people. For some reason, I just couldn't communicate. I couldn't get anything, even a post or anything out there. And so Threads kind of inspired me to jump back into, okay, let me see what it is to promote this stuff again. And so I was like, I'm really efficient with my time too. So I figured out how to make a bunch of short form video content. That worked for me. And it was basically performance-based videos out in the woods and with whatever track I was promoting. And I put that, the same video, across TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Reels, and Facebook, and just kind of experimented with that. And then after a while, like, I was kind of like, okay, I'm not really going to keep up with this. Even for the minimal stuff I was doing, I was like, I don't think I can really keep up with this. And so now it's kind of like, and I even recently took the best performing one a month ago and put money behind it. I boosted it on Instagram to see, and it was cool to see all the likes and follows come in, but it didn't nudge my monthly listeners at all. So with a project like Ghost Stalker, it's kind of weird because I'm pursuing the artist aspect of it, but I'm also pursuing film scoring as part of it too.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's not about having a large audience. It's about knowing a director, and then that's a good way to get paid for my music, yeah. whether it's music I've already created or just original music I put behind it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my focus, is more on scoring short films for this past year and for this coming year.
Interesting. Yeah.
Then trying to build, if I can build an audience, that's great. And it gives me some kind of leverage and notoriety. But if I don't, then, well, Ghost Doctor still gets used in the credits. It still gets used in media that people might come across and sink their teeth into, and then listen to my catalog later.
Yeah. It's a strange thing with the, like you talked about boosting the Instagram ads there, because I've done that on one or two, thing, I think, again, as a bit of a test, really, just to see what happened. And my experience was much the same as yours. You know, you get lots of likes, lots of bits and pieces and a few followers, but traction as regarding anything that might earn you any money, it doesn't happen really. So and I did this on SoundCloud a couple of years ago. I actually did a video on it where I paid for SoundCloud. I forget what it's called now. It was a boost thing through SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at all of the results and the people that had liked it and commented and all that, and it just transpired, when you start digging into it, it was all generic rubbish, really. There was no substance to any of it. These people who were actively commenting on my track but were nobodies. They'd got no profile to speak of at all. And I paid, I think it was a small amount, it was $10, £10, for 6,000 listens. That was the idea.
Yeah.
And overnight, from posting it at 10 PM on the night to 8 AM in the morning, I had exactly 6,000 listens. It was just weird. So I thought, well, that's just not happening. But it also brings me on to, through the Reddit stuff I've been doing, especially the music marketing Reddit group, which is quite large, it attracts promoters. It attracts all these people. So I'm getting... I had one called Symphony OS, who I'm going to be talking to this month, hopefully. A couple of fairly large scale online kind of, you know, we will help you promote your music type of people. And I've spoke to them like I'm talking to you now, and they all seem very genuine and quite passionate about the whole thing. Obviously, it's a money spinner somewhere down the line. And a lot of people are very hesitant about using these kind of places, because they just think, oh, they're just going to take my money and share it to all these people who are just going to like it for... and that's going to be the end of it. So I'm not quite sure if there's any real value in those businesses. You know, there is for them, because they're taking your money, obviously. But I'm yet to see a genuine success story, you know. So the aim is, I'm going to either use something of my own, probably not, because I'm not an artist as such. You know, I'm not putting out music every 5 minutes. But I'm going to pick an artist who I think might benefit from that kind of exposure, because they have, a couple of these places have said to me, look, we'll give you a kind of free, you know, a free go. You put somebody forward and we'll show you what we can do. So that gives me the opportunity to say to an artist, look, I can give you all this now. You can use these people on my account, if you like, and just see where it goes, and we'll get a real life experience of whether you get anywhere with it. So
yeah. I mean, you sound like an A&R guy now.
Well, no, but it's I'm just interested, because there's so much. As soon as I mention anybody about, like, Ask Me Anything or promotional chats or anything like that on Reddit, especially on the music marketing, there's a massive backlash of kind of, oh no, this is all rubbish. Everybody hates these people. You know, they're just taking money and run off with it. You're not going to get anywhere. Just keep posting your music. And I think, well, okay. That might be the case, but in life, if you've got a product and you want to sell it, you have to advertise it. You know, you're not going to sell it by just sticking it in your local shop window. You might sell some, but if you want it to grow, it's not going to happen, is it? It never happens. Everything is like my website. I always say to people, if I put you on my website, I'm not asking you for any money, right? But I'm just a shop window. I just post it. And for people to find, and if they click it, I can't make them click it or like it or play it. I can only present it to them, and hence the image that you put forward and the text or logo, or whatever it is quite important, because these people are scrolling through hundreds of things every few minutes. So, you know, if they want to stop on you, something's got to make them stop, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the reason why, like, I tried boosting the ad, and I was kind of foolish. I boosted it over probably the worst week of the year.
Not Christmas.
It ended right on, but actually Christmas Day was when I got the most interaction of it. I guess people were like tired of their family and running to the bathroom and scrolling on their phone. But I did it over the worst week of the year. And I learned a lot from it. I think I put $54 behind it over 6 days, $9 a day. Just to kind of be like, well, you know, I viewed it as like when you go to an amusement park and maybe there's big lines for every ride you want to ride and they offer a fast pass. Well, let me buy the fast pass and see, you know, if I enjoy getting on the, you know, I think I wasn't even about making money or not. I was just like, man, I'm tired of like, you know, seeing my, they got me, you know, like my number's so low. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think every artist feels that way. So I wanted to try it. And if I benefited from it, I wanted to share that knowledge with others. If I didn't, I wanted to share that knowledge with others in a real way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I learned a lot from it. I maybe questioned like, well, did I make this salesy enough? It is just a performance video. And in the caption, it says, you know, Relic, my new single out now everywhere. Mm. You know, maybe not the most salesy thing I could have done, but it felt authentic to me. It felt what I was comfortable with. And then it's a big ask. You're asking somebody to leave the platform or check out your profile, basically. Yeah. I was kind of shocked how many people were following the account, but I didn't realize that there's a follow button on the actual reel. Right. So I thought they checked out the reel and then they went to my profile and followed me. I didn't realize you could follow exactly from the reel. So right. I was thinking, oh, they're following me. They at least looked at my profile, which has that link to whatever I'm promoting. Not the case.
No.
And then it's a big ask. I make primarily instrumental metal music.
Yeah.
That's just not, I don't know. Most people that listen to metal, there's usually vocals with it. It's very rare to be sitting around listening to instrumental metal. That's a very niche thing.
Yeah.
I understand instrumental focused music like lo-fi hip-hop or synthwave or instrumental ambient music or you know, meditating. I don't personally, other than my own music, I don't really listen to a lot of instrumental metal music. If it is, it's usually polyphia, which is like very virtuosic guitar playing, where you're kind of like imagining yourself trying to keep up playing with that. So it taught me a lot.
I think there is an audience everywhere for everything. How big that audience is always questionable, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm always interested to see what it's like, to market yourself a certain way to see if you can grow your audience. But then, I think sometimes that can just, you know, my goal isn't to play live shows. So it is kind of hard to, you know, understand building a volume like that, a big monthly listenership. You know, that for me would justify, okay, let's go play live. But I really don't, that's not my goal. If it happens that way, then yes, of course I will step up to the plate and play live. But I've kind of just pivoted more toward kind of like this reverse Trent Reznor route, where I would like to be scoring movies and be known for maybe media, maybe video games, and then be able to take that on the road or something. That's something in my control where I'm not like a slave to being on the road for majority of the year. It'd just be like a, you know, every other year, like a month long tour or something, and then work on big paying projects from people that have budgets for it and not rely on Spotify streams for, you know, majority of the stuff. Spotify, or live shows.
Spotify is a big deal at the moment, and it's a big sort of thing. I'm talking to a few people about that, and a few people who are also looking to get around the Spotify thing altogether.
I have no right to complain about Spotify. I feel like I pirated so much music back in the day. and so like for me to complain about not making, I don't know, I feel like, okay, this is a, yeah, it's just karma
back at you sort of thing.
yeah
well,
this is for all the albums I downloaded illegally, and now for me to be like, I should be paid more.
I think the problem with it is the sort of amount of effort you have to put in to get anything back. I think that's the real deal, really. I mean, if you could if you could just put it up on Spotify and let it go and let them do the work and promote your stuff, and you know, you get some sort of feedback or financial reward somewhere down the line, that maybe wouldn't be so bad. But it's the amount of work, I think, that everyone, like you just spoke about it earlier, saying that, you know, you go through this little promotional phase, but then you just realise you just can't continue on at that level, you know, every day, five times a day, doing this, that and the other, just to get another 10 streams on Spotify. The value isn't there, is it?
Yeah, not for me, not in that way, you know, to go out and even for me, I was doing it the most efficient way I could think of. Without having to do a lot of editing or anything like that. And these were all just like, my fiance was holding the phone and just filming me, and we had the recorded track playing, and I would just mime the track.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty straightforward to upload that to everywhere. And even then, it just didn't really fulfill me. It didn't feel that creative. And you know, you still want to have time to actually make music. So.
Well, that's what I mean. You become a kind of slave to the promotion machine, you know, which is really... And there's another artist that I'm looking to talk to in the next few months who I know and I've known for the last few years. They're just a kind of folk band, really. And but they've got reasonable, you know, like 40, 50, 60, 70,000 streams per track on their Spotify. But I know for a fact that they do almost zero promotion online. They do post the odd track release, and they're doing a little gig and they might post that, but there's no massive campaign going on. And I just want to talk to them and say, well, how's that working then? You know, where are all these people coming from?
They probably have really good songs.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's a genre that's kind of fairly placid, but popular, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, they have vocals and lyrics and everything. So that's a huge part of the equation where I'm not involved at all in that. I know there's an audience for everything, but it's a big game changer if you can have vocals on a song.
Yeah. And are you hitting things like that? We touched on the Reddit thing earlier. It became quite a big thing for me, Reddit. Are you into that at all?
Reddit?
Yeah.
Back when I was making Synthwave, I was uploading or posting to Reddit, like new tracks I was making and everything. Mm-hmm. But since then, I haven't been involved in Reddit. I might check it for my local headlines.
So what's on the agenda this year for you?
This year I have a personal project I'm working on. I have a abridged version of the original Nosferatu that I've edited. And I'm doing my own score for it, an original score for the original Nosferatu, and it's about 40 minutes long.
Right.
I did a similar thing April 2024 for Metropolis, where I did original score, but I used my catalog of music as a score. Mm. So I'll be doing that again, and then I'll be scoring a couple of different short films throughout the year. There's a horror film that I'll be scoring in March, I think. And then probably another thriller horror film in the summer.
Yeah.
And then some other film the end of summer.
Okay. I just want to see if I can... Do you mind if we just touch on your Spotify or YouTube, whichever, and just play a little bit of one of your tracks?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Let me just see if I can just get this up on here. Let's do it there. So, okay. So I've got the first track on here is Relic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just play a bit of that. You can hear that, yeah?
I can't on my end.
Oh, okay, maybe it's just me then. I'm not sure I can let you hear that, but I can. It's recording here anyway. So. That's quite synthy. Then it goes into quite a bit of guitar work. I can hear what you're talking about with the drums and the bass, with the thing there. So just tell us a little bit about that particular track, what's going on in there.
Yeah, that one's heavily inspired by trailer music.
Right.
So it was my attempt to combine like something you might hear in a trailer with a metal track. With that one, it's got this weird... like a world percussion loop that I chopped up in there for the intro to kind of give it this this weird feel. And then after that, I think it's got like a lot of strings in there and then a very Phrygian type riff to it.
Yeah, yeah.
The riff was originally, it was originally all, like usually my riffs are done on synth first.
Yeah.
So I'm doing stuff on synth and then I translate it to guitar. So that's why it kind of bounces up and down. You kind of have this like weird low end stuff and then it jumps up to high end stuff. Like I naturally probably wouldn't come up with that riff if I was playing it just on guitar.
Yeah.
It's something to do with synths where I can really jump around from low keys to high keys.
Yeah. And notice a lot of these tracks on here, the ones I'm looking at now, they're relatively short, really. They're almost like, you know, pop song length. Do you keep them that short for a reason or just because?
I do. Yeah. Because it's instrumental music. So it's a big ask to have somebody sit through, you know, even for myself, you know, so I, to do like a whole 3:30 or 4:30 song.
Yeah.
I just stick with short ones where there's a, you know, there's an intro, there's a main theme, and then it diverts from that theme, and then it comes back to the main theme, and then an outro.
Yeah.
Is kind of usually what I stick to. It's a nice little instrumental music sandwich of a piece.
Let me try a little bit of The Prophecy. Sounds like a guitar intro. Pretty hefty drums going on. Nice guitar riff. Yeah, a lot more guitar inspired, I'd say, to me, that one.
Yes, that one's definitely written on guitar first, and that one's definitely inspired by pro wrestling.
Right.
That is my pro wrestling song. I actually attended a pro wrestling event this past Wednesday. I got into pro wrestling probably about a year and a half ago. Like, I'm totally indoctrinated now to pro wrestling.
Okay.
Because every wrestler comes out to these different themes.
Yeah.
They could be like high energy hip hop themes or big rock metal songs or whatever. So I think that one was definitely written and recorded based on pro wrestling entrances.
And what did you get? So did you go to the wrestling and then come straight home and think, right, I need to write someone's intro?
No, it wasn't that literal, but it was definitely looking back. I'm like, okay, that is something that was, because I hadn't really written something like that in a minute. And I was like, oh, okay, this is definitely, I was watching a lot of wrestling.
Okay. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do the Hydra.
Okay, yeah.
Bit of a slower synth start. So what's going on here?
It's horns. It's orchestral horns.
Okay.
Was the main idea from that one. And then it's inspired by orchestral horns and slow doom metal is the combination that's going on there.
Okay. Yeah. Much slower tempo.
This is for leg press. So if you're working out, you can do this on leg press.
Okay.
So that's another thing that inspired some of my music was working out, like having a workout routine in different areas I was using, and kind of like, all right, so I need something that, you know, this makes me think of when I'm doing chest press or leg press or.
So something like that, Hydra. What was the very first piece, instrumental part that you put together for that?
Probably the turnaround guitar riff. It was like a. Little noodly part that ends after chord progression. That was like, sometimes you come up with a part that's not the start of the riff. You're like, okay, this is definitely the tail end of the riff that starts the riff over. And then you're trying to figure out like the, you know, this is number four in the theme, like how do I get 1, 2, and 3, those sections, and then do the little turnaround. So I'm doing the little turnaround over and trying out everything that leads up to it. So that one has like a obvious chord progression throughout the whole song. And then I translated that to these big Hans Zimmer brass kind of things. Mm. I kind of held out and then used that as the intro, as a big wham.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole piece.
It's interesting how some people have built a playlist, or they've managed to get on a playlist of similar type music, or they've built their own playlist through Spotify or YouTube, and they've built it around popular tracks and slotted two or three of your own tracks into that playlist. Mm-hmm. And that's worked for them. You know, they've managed to get some bit of traction through that.
Yeah. Could be that. I feel like the most traction I have on YouTube, I think I have maybe 1,500 subscribers at the moment, is because, not because of my original music, but because of tutorials I've done on different synths that I use. Those have like the highest amount of views. Is I use a Roland JDXi as my main synthesizer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of those things. I think it's around $400. So it's something that people do research on before they buy.
Yeah, that's happened to me as well. I mean, I've found that informative content is more popular than just entertainment, if you like. Mm-hmm. And because people say all the time, I'm on all the YouTube forums and whatever, and they're like, oh, I'm not getting any views. Why am I not getting views? I said, well, if you're just trying to entertain people, you've got to be a really good entertainer for start. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't got to be an entertainer to just put informative information out. So if I do a video on a guitar pedal, that'll do instantly a lot better off the bat than probably something like this or talking about social media or something, because there's a lot of people want to know about those sort of things. But slowly the other stuff does come into play. Like I said earlier, you know, I'm surprised that these kind of interviews have actually, you know, I'm not tons of views by any means, but more than I expected, which has been good. And I think the more you do, somebody actually did an audit on the channel for me and said you should do more of these because you know they will get more traction. And like I said to you earlier, I sent you the link. You know, you can just turn them into a podcast instantly as well, which also needs some work. That's another stream that I've realised is easy to do, but takes quite a bit of work to actually get anywhere.
Yeah, no, I've been thinking about that. I mean, I have my Mythic Merch YouTube channel where I've been doing the interview series, obviously inspired by you. and I just like to talk about creative things with creative people in general. So I'm like, oh, might as well document it. And then and that way it promotes my screen printing business for bands, and then also the bands themselves that I'm interviewing or the person I'm interviewing.
That's right.
And then I'm thinking about, oh, maybe I should do one for Ghost Stalker, where it's like ghost talking.
yeah.
Where I can interview people for Ghost Stalker, but I realize like it's kind of a lot of I get in my head too much about it. Like once I'm here and doing it, it's not too bad, but like afterwards, I'm always like, oh my gosh, like I look this way, or I sound this way, or I was way too animated for this, or you know, they probably thought I was so obnoxious.
So we talked about what you're doing this year. So you're going to try and get more into the film score stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I got to do my own project, the Nosferatu project. Like, that's the blaring thing. I was supposed to finish it up back in October, but we had a hurricane here in Black Mountain that kind of derailed a lot of stuff. And then now that I've kind of gotten back and settled, I'm ready to hit the ground running with it. I have everything written. I just need to sit down and actually perform the pieces and get them recorded and mixed and everything.
And what are you going to do with that once you've done it?
I'm going to put it up on YouTube just like I did Metropolis.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then the ultimate goal is to have a double feature. We have a local movie theater here, independent movie theater. So I would like to have a double feature where we show the 40-minute version of Nosferatu, have an intermission, and then have the 40-minute version of Metropolis.
Is there any sort of copyright thing going on there with any of that sort of stuff?
The films are they're public domain. They're made in 1920.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they're both public domain. And then I would like to do some kind of live performance with it. I thought maybe with Metropolis, when I finished that, that would be my live event. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to do traditional shows. I like to be really in control of the live event and make something that could be a $20 ticket. And that way the venue makes money, I make money. And the people that paid that $20, they are treated really well and enjoy it.
Mm.
I don't really like local shows where it's, you know, you pay maybe $10, $15 to attend and you're just standing around all night. It starts an hour late,
yeah,
all
yeah.
this stuff. did that for 10 years, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I really want to create a live event that would be really cool. Maybe the double feature during the intermission, or I'm still trying to get traction on Metropolis. That was kind of an interesting thing to put out there. It had been on my mind for years.
Yeah,
and I actually tried to do an original score for it, and I was struggling so bad trying to do all original pieces for a film that the original cut is like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And then eventually I was like, wait, I have a whole catalog of music. And I was like, this makes me think of this scene in that movie, because I'd watched the movie so many times.
Mm.
And so I was doing test edits with my catalog.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this is the score.
Yeah.
like it's a 2.5 hour long film, and it's old, so it has a lot of cut scenes for the dialogue and all that.
Yeah.
I was like, let me compress this some. I cut out all the title cards and just made it subtitled at the bottom.
Mm.
That way it helps tell the story as it's happening, like you would read it on the screen instead of it showing somebody talking, then the big cut card, then back to the scene. So I trimmed out a lot of that. So it's about a 40-minute long experience with and my catalog is synthwave and hip hop and metal and all that. So it actually has a great, for me, great flow and experience to it. So I'm still trying to get traction on that, because that's definitely a big baby for me. I've been talking about it for years, and to finally see it release and everything. And even that, I put it out there and I'm like, this is a big ask again.
Yeah.
Because it's still, even 40 minutes is a lot to ask somebody to experience it with.
Is there anything you want to pop in? Anything you want to throw into the mix?
My most recent release is a collection of synthwave plus doom metal, and this came out like the last week of December.
Okay.
And it's called Hell or High Water. It's an EP of 6 songs, and they're all synthwave and doom metal kind of combined. And it's called Hell and High Water because of the hurricane that happened to us.
Sure.
And so all proceeds, it's on Bandcamp only.
Mm.
And you can pay $6 for the 6 songs, or you can pay more if you want. And it's a fundraiser. All the proceeds go to a organization called Beloved Asheville.
Okay.
That's still doing work to help with hurricane relief that happened here in the surrounding areas.
Yeah.
And also with it, I launched a special edition t-shirt. That's the Ghost Stalker logo with mountain design inside of it.
Yeah.
That one is a baseline of $20 plus shipping. And you can pay more if you want to, and proceeds from that t-shirt also go directly to the organization. So that's something I have out there. I haven't done a lot of promotion behind it, but it's been out there, and people have been contributing toward it, and it's been awesome to see. And it was a collection of music that I had around, and I finally wrapped it up as far as mixing and finishing up the pieces. So that's out there. That's something that means a lot for my heart to get out there for people in my community, and for anybody that wants to check out any music from an artist that's actually here on the front lines in the area. It's kind of all the titles and the music are definitely inspired by our day-to-day here. Luckily, I'm fortunate enough to, my little bubble is okay, but between even just my 5-minute commute from my house to the shop, it's a war zone. I'm driving through, and there's just I've gotten used to it now. I'm kind of blind to it, but I'm definitely still my way of presenting something out there to the world that if people choose to even just listen to it and kind of sit with it emotionally and understand what's going on, or they want to contribute any kind of finances to it, it's available to do that as well.
No problem.
And I make the shirts, and I ship them out too. So anybody, right now it's only for the US, that's out there.
Well, a big lot of our market is the US, isn't it? I noticed a lot of my sort of market is generally 50-50 UK and US. It's working somewhere down the line. It's kind of working for somebody. So I'm hoping that the people like the interviews like this, that, this might generate a little bit of traffic for both of us, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for doing that.
No problem. Cool. I enjoy doing it. It's interesting to see who's out there. But anyway, Joey, Ghost Stalker, great to talk to you. And I wish you all the best of luck with your new material that's coming out, and your score, and your whatever it is you're going to be doing. I'll keep abreast of what you're up to and keep me posted on what you're doing. So thanks for entertaining us.
Awesome, Tim. Thank you for having me on.